Hello, beloved. Welcome back to the Rename Beloved podcast. Today, we're going to be picking up on part two of our Nature and Scripture series, and we are going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit and really harvesting in general. So as we touched on a little bit in the last episode, we are nature-loving girlies. Maggie's more of a gardener. I'm like kind of a hiker, and I have my plants too. So this is something that I think highlights to me how much God is in everything. So as we work with our plants, as we go out and just experience the beauty of God's creation through hiking and through these other means, we have an opportunity to learn something about the Creator who made all those things. And He is consistent. Science itself exists because the universe is sensible, because our God is sensible and someone that we're able to make understanding of. So if you want to check out the first part, which definitely is a good prerequisite for this first episode, if you feel led to do so, we will leave the link in the description. So when we think of Jesus as our gardener, per se, as a keeper of our field, what does that look like to you, played out in our lives?
For me, I think it really just highlights how God sustains creation in general. And on this topic, it's helpful for me to remember that while I find so much joy in feel like I access like little pieces of what like the nature of God is through creation, it's a reminder that we are very much just another part of that creation. And just as God sustains the wildlife and the lilies of the field, so to speak, He sustains us as well. And one thing that I know anyone who's read the Bible is familiar with the imagery that is used in the parables even Jesus uses when it comes to like the agriculture of the area. I appreciate so much that our God uses the things that we can see and touch and deal with on a day-to-day basis to describe the bigger things and the bigger truths about Him and our relationship to Him and how we should relate to Him, you know, if nothing else. So one thing that stuck out to me as we're talking about, we've talked about kind of sowing and growing and pruning in the last episode, but as we shift gears to talk about, you know, producing fruit and getting into the harvest, one thing that comes to mind is Paul's imagery. And then it's imagery that goes back to even Isaiah, where they talk about the root of Jesse. And we know Christ is that shoot that springs up of the root of Jesse. And how we are grafted, as anyone who's not Jewish listening, like myself and Meridia, we are grafted in as Gentiles into the family of Christ. And so it's one thing to kind of read that and be like, okay, yeah, we're grafted in, we're adopted into God's family, so to speak. But my mind in preparing for this went back to, well, what does it mean? Like, why would you graft something in the first place? Why that imagery versus other imagery that would convey a similar concept? And we talk about the concept of being, you know, adopted as God is our heavenly Father. But I love that imagery of, well, first of all, plants. I am kind of obsessed with plants, but the idea of being grafted in. So I wanted to start in Romans 11, and I want to read this from Paul because this imagery is powerful for me, and I think it's helpful to keep in mind. So the verses I'm looking at are in Romans 11, and it's a longer section that I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you are so called, bring out your Bible and go to Romans chapter 11. In verses 11 through 24, this is where Paul is talking about the Gentiles being grafted in. He's talking about, of course, not boasting in this, but the verse he uses here is that, or the words he uses here is that we were wild olive shoots being grafted in among the others and now sharing in the nourishing root of the olive tree. Of course, we know the nourishing root is going to be Christ, you know. He's saying, of course, don't be arrogant toward the branches. And he's talking about, like, if we are a wild olive tree being grafted into the nourishing root, how much more would the natural branches be grafted in? And of course, he's talking about, prophetically speaking, that the Jews will also receive Christ. And so Gentiles shouldn't brag in that. So there's a lot of lessons to be learned. But my mind went to, you know, why grafting? And I was thinking about grafting in a sense of like, if I were to graft a fruit tree onto another tree, like why would gardeners do that? What are the benefits? Why not just plant the wild olive tree in some good soil, you know, or why not just plant your new fruit tree in some good soil and hope for the best? And there's a few reasons I just want to touch on. And then I want to hear from you because, you know, I don't want to get, well, I'll touch
get
on
get in
these.
The weeds. We love it.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say literally the weeds. So four reasons I want to go over that you would graft a plant. Okay. And keep in mind, we're talking about plants, but we're also talking about our hearts being grafted into to Christ, letting those seeds, so to speak, take root in our hearts at the word of God. And that's what we talked about in the last episode, but four reasons that you would graft. One is to allow a plant to grow successfully where it would otherwise have problems. Two would be to repair damaged plants. Three would be to increase the growth rate of the grafted branch. And the fourth one would be that a new variety of plant would be created. So the first one, I'll start with that. When you graft a branch onto a developed rootstock, that would be like the nourishing root that Paul talks about. It benefits from the hardiness and durability and resilience and deep-rootedness of that rootstock. So I think about that in relationship to our relationship with God. Like, we are so dependent, and we should be so dependent on God for every single thing in our lives. And if we could just accept that, and for example, like if I were to want to grow a pear tree here in Ohio where I am, say there's like a variety that does really well here, but I want some other sort of pear that is a little bit less durable in this environment, what I would do is graft on the pear that I want into a tree that we know does well here, because it can take advantage of the fact that this is a good environment for the, you know, the tree that's that's native, so to speak, or does well here. So you can just kind of co-opt some of those characteristics, so to speak, or at the very least take advantage of the sturdiness and durability of what does well and is already adapted to the environment. And when I think about creation, I think about this world. I mean, who else should we be relying on other than God, our creator, to, you know, to survive and thrive and to be provided for. So who knows our every need? The second reason would be to, if you have a damaged plant, it can be revived in much the same way by taking over or taking advantage of the vitality of the rootstock. So, I mean, listen to anybody's testimony, and that's an example of something like that, like a damaged person coming back to God, to Christ, and finding that healing and, you know, sustenance in our creator. The third reason would be by relying on that developed root, in this case, Christ, by relying on God, the grafted branches, or we, can produce fruit like in a dramatically decreased time frame. So for example, if I were to take a prune branch, you could root that in all by itself and plant it out, but it would take years and years and years for it to actually produce fruit. If I were to take that same branch, put it and graft it into a developed rootstock, it would dramatically decrease the time to, depending on, you know, maybe like a fraction of the time, maybe a year, two, three, whatever it is. I don't know. We're getting into specifics of the gardening aspect. But the point is, the time that it takes to develop that fruit is so dramatically decreased. And that reminds me of John 10:10, where Jesus talks about that the thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy, but he came that people would have life and have it more abundantly. So I just think of that, like in Christ, we can grow to heights and produce fruit that alone we could never, never accomplish by ourselves, you know? So these are things I think about. The fourth one, which I know we're going to talk about when it comes to like fruit of the spirit, the fourth reason for grafting, and there's a lot more, but these are the four I thought were most relevant. The fourth reason would be to create a new fruit, a new flower, a new creation. So the idea is that you take some characteristics of the rootstock and some characteristics of the grafted on branch, and something completely new and unique and untouched develops out of that. And it's a very delicate, you know, relationship there. But I think in the same, that's the exact same way that I feel God relates to us and comes into our lives and takes what we have, the raw materials, so to speak. We get rooted in him. He prunes away things that aren't helpful and aren't fruitful. And then what you get ultimately is unique fruit that only you can bring to the world. Like, God has a unique purpose for you and your life that only you can achieve in him, and that he specifically wants to achieve through you. Mm-hmm. And so that beautiful, like, symbiotic relationship where a new creation is produced, I thought was just such a beautiful metaphor for how God comes into our lives and mm-hmm. transforms us and gives us that deep roots, like the deep wells of water, nourishment, you know, hope and purpose and direction and all of these things. Because as it says in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks that in Christ we are a new creation. So that is why I get excited about yeah. this. And that's why I wanted to go on and on for a little bit about grafting, because it's one thing to know that we are, you know, adopted into the tree of God, so to speak, or adopted into the family of God. But when you really think about what are the benefits of being grafted in, aside from just knowing that, you know, we're made in God's image and God loves us, there are true, like, tangible things, tangible reasons why, you know, this process is done. And I believe this imagery really directly relates to the things that God wants to do through you in your life mm-hmm. as well.
I'm really glad that you took the time to explain the process of grafting from a horticulture sort of perspective, because I think that's something that we can be far from, whereas God is full of understanding and wisdom. He created the whole earth. The human brain is far more complex than any computer that we've ever right. created. God is infinitely intelligent. And there's so many ways that there are so many common motifs used in the Bible, and they can represent a few things. So, like, seed could be the word of God. Seed, though, is also the way that God uses to describe people's offspring.
Right.
Like, yeah. we are the seed of the woman. We're Eve's. So when Adam names Eve, he names her Eve because she was the mother of all living. Mm. So, as we are also accounted, the fall is associated with Adam's fallen sin nature. Like, we're connected to Adam and Eve. So Eve being like the mother of all, we're all seed of Eve. Mm-hmm. Israelites are considered the seed of Abraham. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of ways that all breaks down in the seed sense. So when we think of working off the motif of the seed as us, right? So we literally being the seeds of Abraham and then growing into something. Mm-hmm. Another concept I thought was interesting, because, you know, I get into YouTube rabbit holes. they were talking about how they graft lime trees because they're really prone to disease. So they'll take, like, a key limes are really popular. So they'll take, like, a key lime and splice it into a hardier tree.
Yeah.
So that then the key limes can grow without the problems mm-hmm. that are typical to key lime plants.
Yeah.
And I think that is what God does with us. Like, I'm thinking of in Proverbs, the small fox spoils the vine. I don't even know where that is in Proverbs, but it always comes to my mind because it's like little sin, mm-hmm. how that it's the small fox that spoils the vine. So all it takes is, like, you know, like when you have a plant and say you need to prune it, you need to, like, sanitize your scissors mm-hmm. because even if it's dead already, you use dirty scissors with, like, some kind of bacteria or spore on it, then you can infect your plant in of mm-hmm. itself. Simply trying to take something off of it that it doesn't need. And so just a little nick can be the death of that whole tree. Mm-hmm. Just from some small wound, not as wide as my finger, could kill a tree.
Right.
And so there is so much in that. And I want to go to John 15, because going back to the idea of being grafted into Christ, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And I think it's sometimes we apply a ridiculous standard to the Bible, like we forget how language works. Like, for instance, I could say the Chiefs, and this is like an exaggeration this year, but let's say it's not. The Chiefs annihilated the 49ers in the Super Bowl. The word annihilation, like, that doesn't mean that there's no more 49ers. That's not what that means. Or I could say, I literally, and that means the exact opposite. So when Jesus says, like, we can do nothing, that's not in the most literal sense. Atheists can do things.
Yeah.
Like, they can live, right? They can do things, but can they do good things? Mm. Can they produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Truly from their hearts, because it's transformative. It's one thing to act a certain way, but God is not merely concerned about our actions. That's the last thing.
Yeah.
He's concerned about our heart posture. Mm-hmm. He's concerned about our minds. What are you thinking?
Right.
Are you calling people an idiot in your mind, but then thinking better of it and feeling very smug and justified, like, nah, he's really an idiot, you know? Mm-hmm. Or Jesus says that puts you in danger of hellfire, mm-hmm. which is crazy. It's like, so like every time you enter the highway, and someone cuts you off, in danger of hellfire. But God cares about that, right? Yeah. Like, he really, that's what he's after. He's not after you just not road raging and murdering someone. Good, you do well. But that's not Jesus's standard. His standard's so high. So we have to literally abide in him. And he's done mm-hmm. that. He's made peace with the whole world through the blood of his cross. That is what allows us to go back to the Levitical picture of the temple, right? You have the veil surrounding the Holy of Holies. When Jesus dies, the veil is rent, torn. Mm-hmm. So he allows us, and then we know that after Christ comes the Holy Spirit and dwells us, and that's like being in that's how you got to the presence of God in the Old Testament. Not until you were in the Holy of Holies, the Day of Atonement. The rituals are long.
Mm-hmm.
To be worthy to have, and not even everyone, for one guy to be able to see the Shekinah glory of the Lord. And we have that opportunity to be the place that God indwells. And that is such a great honor. In order to do that, we must allow ourselves to be grafted in, mm-hmm. allow ourselves to take on the roots of root ourselves in the rock,
mm-hmm.
root ourselves in the great tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that goes back to Genesis too, though, right?
Like, mm-hmm.
tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life.
Yeah.
Choose the tree of life to be grafted into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I appreciate that imagery so much, because that grafting process is such a delicate process at the end of the day.
It is.
And I appreciate what you said about the disease resistance. I mean, like, the benefits of being in the healthy rootstock of the, you know, that the durable, reliable rootstock are numerous. But it's a very delicate process. I say all this as someone who's never grafted fruit trees, but I do understand the process. So, and I know, like, how plants can be so delicate. I actually think it'd be really neat to give it a try. I don't grow many fruit trees or things like that I would need to graft, so it's not something I've needed to do in my garden. But just to know that rootstock is so solid. Mm-hmm. For example, say we'll take like a rose bush, and say I have a rootstock that's really, you know, durable in this area, and I want to bring in maybe like a beautiful white rose, we'll say. I like pure white roses are really pretty to me. So we'll say we're trying to grow like a pure white rose, and we're grafting it into this rootstock. If for some reason bad winter would come, or other disease or anything would happen to that grafted in branch and it dies, what's going to happen is that healthy rootstock that really developed a vigorous, you know, reliable rootstock, that will likely still live, all things considered. Otherwise, you wouldn't have chosen that type of rootstock. So what would happen is that grafted in branch, the cultivar, if you will, like that white rose, would die off and the rootstock would remain. And when I think about that, it reminds me of just how our bodies will die. You know, there are things in our lives that will not remain always, but we can trust the rootstock. We can trust God, that he is eternal. He is infinite. So like, if we are grafted in, like, no matter what happens to us and no matter what our understanding is of what's going on, we can trust that that rootstock is reliable and eternal. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's a little bit of a hyperbole, like exaggeration for the what we're talking about, but it's just like there's an assurance there. Like, that's why you choose the rootstock that you do for your project, because you can rely on it. And that same, you know, nourishing root that Paul talks about in Romans, that's what we get to be grafted into when we, you know, accept Jesus Christ. And that's just such a comfort, you know, because death and all of this, it's confusing. It's perplexing as a human being, but to know that our hope is in something and someone who has overcome death and is outside the limits and the confines of time and space and physical bodies that decay and rot and get diseases and die, and our rootstock in Christ is eternal. Mm. So,
yeah, and that's really cool because Jesus also talks about pruning. So one day we'll die and sort of wither away from the tree and be. And I mean, I think that's also the cool thing about the rootstock, right? Like, we are eternal. Though our physical bodies may wither, we will abide forever. Like, both of my parents are dead. I think about them all the time, that they're not here, but they're not gone. Mm-hmm. Like, they are some more. Like, Jesus was able to call Elijah and Moses to the Mount of Transfiguration. And they live forever with him. And all the saints live forever with him. We have a truly great cloud of witnesses. So it is such a great encouragement to know that we can rely in this life while we're feeble, while we're weak, while we're susceptible to all of this, and eternally we'll abide in him. Mm-hmm. But we've been given that opportunity to not stand on our own merit, but stand on the merit of Christ. It's really a great metaphor for the whole gospel.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, if you had to endure this by ourselves without being grafted in, we could not.
Right.
Our stock is not good for, we're not made for this world. We're not here for it. So we're given the opportunity to be grafted in to this rootstock. What kind of fruit are we going to be producing?
Right.
And I think that that is one of the, it is the way that we'll be able to identify other believers. Mm-hmm. And it's a way that we have the ability to test ourselves. So before we're grafted into Christ, you know, we are producing things like immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, carousing. We're doing all these things. So we're being grafted into this new plant to bring forth a whole new fruit. And then we're bringing forth things like 9 fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is the fruit of a Christian life. Mm-hmm. So we're going from all this nasty, funky, like, we're basically going from being a lime tree to, like, an orange tree. You know, you bite into a lime, you're like, oh, bite into an orange, and it's delicious and juicy and tasty.
Sweet, yeah.
Yeah, and everyone, like, I'm not going to say everyone likes oranges, but most people like oranges. Like, orange juice. Oranges are really popular, right?
They're, like, yummy.
Yeah, they're
good for you.
Orange slices, you know what I mean? Like, you got orange all and all types of
Mandarin oranges.
You know what I mean? Yeah. All kinds of different oranges. So we're going from producing something bitter to producing something sweet, though, really is the analogy that I wanted to make. Yeah, tell me, there's so much to say about the fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. One thing I wanted to say as you're talking, it's amazing because in the grafting process, sometimes the only purpose is to create something new and beautiful and unique that doesn't occur naturally. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about, you know, our inherent tendencies that is ugly and bitter, and it's our natural state is depraved.
Yeah.
But when we get grafted into Christ and, you know, get grafted into that eternal rootstock of our holy Lord. Like, I just think it's amazing how that the fruit that that produces, it's supernatural. You know, it truly is like a supernatural work of God that goes beyond anything we could achieve in our by ourselves, because our natural state is it's the bitter lime. And I love limes, but it's the bitter lime for this this metaphor.
For the sake of eating a lime, no. Like, I'm not eating a lime the way I would eat a lemon. But
right.
Yeah, we could go on about limes, but anyways.
Key lime pie is delicious. Limes, I will say.
Lime on chicken?
What? Lime. Yeah, but lime, you need like a lot of sugar chips? Or like a lot of butter or something. Yeah. But yeah, no, it definitely. But what I just love about that, though, is like when you're grafting something in, or if you're creating a hybrid type of plant, those growers have to be so patient because they have no idea what's going to happen until they see either the fruit or the flower. And I just think it's amazing. That's exactly how God works with us. We may not see anything happening in our lives. We may not know even what's going on. Other people might see it before we do too, or we might not understand what God's doing, but with patience and time, you can see the beautiful, unique thing that God is doing in your life. And I think more often we see it in the lives of other people first. You know, I think it's easier to kind of see like, wow, God really transformed that person. Like, I know I see it in you as far as, you know, just being your friend. And I just think it's beautiful because like what God wants to do with you as a unique individual is something he's not doing with anybody else. And that's like the unique thing that sometimes it takes patience, though, you know, but God knows what he's doing. Unlike the growers who are just like experimenting with their plants and stuff, God knows exactly what he's doing and has a really good, really good plan. But
I think briefly I want to interject too. A note from fruit trees is fruit trees take some years to produce.
Oh yeah.
If you spit an apple seed in the ground, it's not like a tomato. If you plant a tomato this year, you will eat a tomato at the end of the year.
Right.
But like fruit trees, fruit trees take years to go from. And I mean, obviously we're being grafted in and that's being accelerated, but it is also good to have perspective.
Yeah.
That these things really do take time. The maturity needed, the development needed of a root system to be able to support and sustain fruit. Mm-hmm. It takes time.
Yeah. No, that's okay. Another thing I guess kind of like you know it intuitively, but we haven't really explicitly said it, is in order to be grafted in, you have to cut yourself out of the root that you were previously in.
Ooh, yes.
You have to like you don't get grafted in. I was thinking about that when I was talking about how it's a delicate process. Like you take that branch away from its mother plant, so to speak, its nature, its natural state, and you bring it in with actually a wound on the root, on the root stock. So you allow, like, say it's just a tree, a twig, you would scrape the bark off, you would wound both of the plants, the branch and the root stock. So I think that that's beautiful too. Like, just the symbolism there is we know Christ, by his wounds we are healed, and we have to allow ourselves to be cut off from our mother plant and allow that process to take shape. And, you know, the sad reality is I'm thinking about how delicate it is for some, it doesn't work. Like the success rate is not 100%. And so I just think like we have to allow that though, to take that time to shape. And, the wounding of the branches, I think really stuck out to me for some reason. It's just like such a spot on metaphor for the process of how we are grafted in and allowed to produce the fruit of the Spirit, you know. So
no, I think that is so beautiful. The word of God is also described as both a seed and a sword. It cuts even our, you know, circumcision was a physical sign of a greater spiritual reality. Mm-hmm. And the greater spirituality is like the quote unquote circumcision of our hearts, the cutting away. And that hurts. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's not fun. No. It's unpleasant. It's not like, you know, cutting your hair. No, you're cutting something live tissue, something living, something painful, something that we're often attached to our own sins. And that is why as much as Satan does mess with us, he can leave us alone at a certain point. Like, he can go on to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
Because once our flesh and our mind follows, like, I think Satan's biggest, the battlefield, I always, like, my battlefield is between my ears. All between my ears is where the battlefield is. And when we allow Satan to win here, after you win here, then he starts working on your feet and moving you in a different direction. And once you get caught up in that, you it can all be flesh.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, because we have three enemies. The world, as you're talking about, having to literally remove ourselves from our environment. The flesh, can't remove ourselves from that on this side of eternity. And the devil. Those are our three enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And they really play in tandem together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's such a beautiful point. And the miraculous nature, it is supernatural to have love and joy. It is like mm-hmm. supernatural to not to pray for your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Mm-hmm. That is something that has to come from a force and a love and a devotion beyond ourselves. That's mm-hmm. not something that we can produce in and of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be the work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's like with that graft and that new unique fruit, it takes on characteristics of, mm-hmm. of both elements, you know? And mm-hmm. I think that while we remain ourselves, obviously in the sense of like who God always made us, you know, not to use that. I think that's kind of like, this is the way God made me. Like, people use that as a reason not to change and yeah. not to transform or whatever. But I don't mean it like that. I mean, like, God did make you unique in the person that you are with your experiences for a good reason. But there's also, he wants to transform you in your heart as well. And so we keep, even after being in Christ and even after being saved, you still keep some of those things that make you you. And so that's what I think is beautiful about the fruit that does produce in our lives, is it does have that element of godliness. You know, hopefully, Lord willing, that's the goal, is that we have that fruit of the Holy Spirit. One of the other things, as I was thinking about this topic, that I got really excited about was as I'm planting seedlings and flowers and stuff, as it's March now as we're recording this, so flowers are amazing as well, because much like the tomato that you could plant this year and grow this year, a flower, you know, when it dies and that seed head is ready to be harvested, so to speak, it produces so many more seeds usually. So I'm thinking about the poppies that I'm planting this year, and poppies are kind of notorious for those pods when they're ready to be harvested. Those seed pods, they're just like thousands of little poppy seeds go all over and they self-sow. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about that, about when we allow God to do that work in our life, when we allow God to produce that fruit, or for this case, that flower, what it ends up doing is it allows us to actually continue to sow more seeds and continue with the harvest, because we are God's fellow workers. But if we don't allow God to do what he wants to do in your life, we don't get to participate in that work. And unfortunately, it is a choice at the end of the day, and to submit or not. But it's just such a beautiful, I think, plan that I know God has for us. If we would allow, like, we have no idea how many seeds could come mm-hmm. from our obedience and our fruit, like what God wants to do through us for his glory and his purpose. So,
no, that's awesome too, because poppy seeds are also tiny, like sort of like mustard seeds. Yeah. And the kingdom of heaven, you know, being likened to a mustard seed, which is like mm-hmm. such a tiny seed that grows up and forms this thick, heavily rooted tree that like birds can come find shelter in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just beautiful, right? Like, it gives us an opportunity to bear more fruit. And another parable we talked about, and another motif for the seed would be the word of God. Mm-hmm. And it's a motif often used like in the parable of the sower.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of like come back to that idea, I want to read a little bit from the fourth chapter of John. am going to start at verse 35. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored, and others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. So I think, let's just take a really basic framework we can all understand. The apostles. We are the church, is the fruit. It's the byproduct of the work of the apostles. Mm-hmm. My faith is a byproduct to a large degree to my grandmother's faith, to my mother's faith. So their work allowed someone, like, you know, my mom didn't necessarily, like, she wasn't alive, she didn't convert me. Like, she raised me up and trained me up in these ways. She plowed the soil, she planted all these seeds, but she was not there to harvest the seeds. Mm-hmm. She was not there. Someone else got to harvest that. Mm-hmm. And so one day they'll all rejoice together. And I think that that takes a lot of pressure out of evangelistic work. Mm-hmm. So some things are ready to just be harvested.
Yeah.
You cannot make, if I go into the apple orchard right now, and I'm like, I want an apple. I can't have an apple. There's just nothing right now to be harvested from the apple trees. It's not the season for the apple tree. Mm-hmm. However, you know, I could plant seeds in one day. Mm-hmm. Like, we're from Ohio, and there's like, our hometown has a Johnny Appleseed plaque. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, Johnny Appleseed passed through here, and he never ate any of those apples. Right. He just planted all these seeds for all these trees. And we see the work of Johnny Appleseed. But Johnny must not have seen much.
No.
Other than a padded over hole. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but he left in faith that eventually those things would come to fruition and mm-hmm. bear plant. So whether our job today is to sow, whether our job is today to reap the harvest, because it takes time for those roots to grow down, right? In the parable of the sower, it's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. Not true followers, not true faith, because you're going to have to answer some questions. You're going to have to work through some things. It's going to take some time for you to grow your roots down long enough to hit the rock. Mm-hmm. But keep going, and you'll hit the rock. But all that takes time. It's like, I mean, you know, there's so many metaphors we could get into here.
So many. That's why I was like so excited to talk about this, because you read through the Bible and it's just like, of course, you know, they're there, the symbolisms and the parables with reference to nature. But I just wanted to take a minute and really at least focus in on these few kind of uses of imagery, because I feel it's really rich. I hope that some of you have been encouraged by it or related to some of this in some way, but, or maybe you'll just read your scripture a little bit differently next time you come across some of these passages. But
yeah. And we hope too, that this encourages you to, as you're laboring and as you're living your life, maybe give you some inspiration on how to think about God mm-hmm. and how to keep him present and at the forefront of your mind, because he's given us so many metaphors. He is in so many things that mm-hmm. even when you're not reading your Bible for, you know, we go through seasons where we don't have time to read our Bible for hours and hours a day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're busy, maybe you have a newborn or something, you know, like mm-hmm. those times can be difficult to devote, but there's so much you can do to still see God working.
Absolutely.
And still think of him.
Absolutely. And it's such a gift too. I think that God has given us so many different areas of access and understanding if we'll just pay attention. You know, it's, yes, of course God is talks to us through the living word, but he also, like, oh my goodness, look at his beautiful creation, how beautiful it really is, and how, like you said, everything, it's orderly, it makes sense. We serve a God of order and of love and of peace and of generosity and concern and provision. God wants to provide for you, and just as, you know, he does, he sustains the nature, even untouched. You know, nature thrives when we don't mess with it too. So it's like, yes, leave it alone. Sometimes that's the best thing you can do for some of your stuff. People sometimes, like, I gave my neighbor a house plant and she's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I was like, are you giving it too much water? Are you loving it too much? Like, I think we can learn a lot there too. Just like God just set everything into order, and it is such a perfection in the way he created it. And I think in the same way, we too need to get back to our created state, which is to be in communion with him and to reconnect and make our roots in him. And I think if we could just do that, we would thrive just like the birds and the lilies of the field. And with that, beloved, we are going to end this episode. We really hope that you've been encouraged by something you've heard today. And we'd love for you, if you're watching on YouTube, to like and subscribe and maybe share this video with someone who you think it would also encourage today. If you're listening to our podcast, please just give us a review and a rating. We really appreciate that. It helps us a lot to access more people. And if you have any questions, we'd love to hear from you guys. Leave a comment or access us on social media. We'd love to hear from you and see what your impressions are, or if you have any requests of something you'd like to hear us talk about. But until then, beloved, take care.